Good morning, and welcome to the third Sunday of Easter. He lives. We still rejoice in our Lord and in our Savior, rejoicing today in the hope that He provides to you and to me, because He is risen indeed. Thank you once again for joining with us. The order of service is posted along with this service. God's blessings as you rejoice in that hope that is yours in our risen Savior. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
And also with you.
We have come into the presence of God, who created us to love and serve Him as His dear children. But we have disobeyed Him, and deserve only His wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to Him, and plead for His mercy. Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me. According to your unfailing love, cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt. God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven all your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, He has removed your guilt forever. You are His own dear child. May God give you strength to live according to His will. We pray, Lord God, by the humiliation of your Son, you lifted up this fallen world from the despair of death. By His resurrection to life, grant your faithful people gladness of heart and the hope of eternal joys. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
He lives, and that is what restores our hope. As we turn our attention to the Word of God for this third Sunday of Easter, we rejoice in that hope that is ours. We turn our attention to the first lesson from God's Word from Acts chapter 2, as we hear the end of Peter's Pentecost sermon, rejoicing in the fact that we do indeed have that hope as you and I continue to hold firmly to all that the apostles were inspired and taught in that Word. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and spoke loudly and clearly to them. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart, and said to Peter and the other apostles, Gentlemen, brothers, what should we do? Peter answered them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, and for your children, and for all who are far away, as many as the Lord our God will call. He testified solemnly with many other words, and was appealing to them, saying, Save yourselves from this crooked generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 people were added. They continued to hold firmly to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to the prayers. Awe came over every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They were selling their possessions and property and were distributing the proceeds according to what anyone needed. Day after day, with one mind, they were devoted to meeting in the temple area as they continued to break bread in their homes. They shared their food with glad and sincere hearts as they continued praising God and being viewed favorably by all the people. Day after day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. This is the word of our Lord. Our second lesson takes us to 1 Peter chapter 1. It is that amazing resurrection that restores our hope. And because of the resurrection, because God raised him from the dead, you and I have faith and hope in God. If you call on the Father who judges impartially, according to the work of each person, conduct yourselves during the time of your pilgrimage in reverence, because you know that you were redeemed from your empty way of life, handed down to you from your forefathers, not with things that pass away, such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like a lamb without blemish or spot. He was chosen before the foundation of the world, but revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. This is the word of our Lord. We speak responsibly, the verse of the day. Alleluia, alleluia. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Our hearts were burning within us while he was speaking to us along the road. The Holy Gospel once again allows us to see the hope that you and I have because of our risen Lord and Savior. We visit the Emmaus disciples and Jesus, and as they rejoice in hearing those scriptures open to them, and now they know Jesus really is alive. Luke chapter 24. Now on that same day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about all of these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing this, Jesus himself approached and began to walk along with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. He said to them, "What are you talking about as you walk along?" Saddened, they stopped. One of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked them. They replied, "The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. But we were hoping that he was going to redeem Israel. Not only that, but besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Also, some women of our group amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning. When they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb. They found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him. He said to them, 'How foolish you are, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and to enter his glory?' Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village where they were going, he acted as if he were going to travel farther. But they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, since it is almost evening, and the day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he reclined at the table with them, he took the bread, blessed it, broke it, and began giving it to them. Suddenly their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. Then he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he was speaking to us along the road and while he was explaining the scriptures to us?' They got up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem. They found the 11 and those who were with them assembled together. They were saying, 'The Lord really has been raised. He has appeared to Simon.' They themselves described what had happened along the road and how they recognized him when he broke the bread." This is the gospel of our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace are yours because he lives. And as you and I continue to rejoice in the resurrection, we rejoice in that hope that is ours, given to us through his amazing love. This morning we focus our attention on the gospel for this day, which means that when you went through the family Bible hour from last week, you were getting ready for this week. Our family Bible hour from last Sunday took us to those Emmaus disciples, and you had the opportunity to review that movie, The Road to Emmaus, and think about some of those questions on that handout. And now as you had a chance to think about those things throughout the week, we now have a chance to join them once again. One of the questions that you had the opportunity to think about was, why? And you can see these disciples along that road headed to Emmaus thinking along those terms, can't you? Why did this all happen? Why did he have to die? Why isn't anybody finding him? Why are they not seeing him? Why did these things take place? And how easy it is for you and for me to keep asking those same questions. Why? Why is this going on? Why did this virus have to take place? Why did these things need to be done? Why can't I go across the street and play with my friends like I always did before? Why can't we come together and worship our God? And why is this taking so long? Ever since we were two, we've been asking why. It's kind of overrun by the whole thing, all the things happening at this particular time, but the questions why are not new. But you know why. You know why all of this is taking place. It's called sin. This world has not been functioning properly ever since the fall into sin. It's because we are sinners living in a sin-infected world. That's why all these things happen. And until sin is dealt with and until sin is addressed, this world will continue to not function properly. Enter Jesus. The risen Savior explains the Scriptures. You and I gather along with him and these two disciples on the way to Emmaus and rejoice to have those Scriptures opened up to you and to me. The risen Savior explains the Scriptures. It's all about him. And it's all about us. We wish to focus our attention mainly now on the last part of the gospel lesson, starting at verse 25. He said to them, "How foolish you are, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and to enter his glory?" Then beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in the Scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village where they were going, he acted as if he were going to travel farther. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, since it is almost evening, and the day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he reclined at the table with them, he took the bread, blessed it, broke it, and began giving it to them. Suddenly their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. Then he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was speaking to us along the road, and while he was explaining the Scriptures to us?" By the time we get to this section of the account, these disciples already had an opportunity to explain to this stranger who had just joined them what they thought about Jesus. They had also already expressed their amazement that he had no idea what was going on. How could these things have happened and you didn't know? They described Jesus, a man who was powerful in speech and in word before God and before the people. And then they expressed what they had kind of hoped was going to happen. We had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. But now he's dead. The leaders had conspired against him. They had talked Pilate into having him executed. He was crucified. And it seems all their hopes and dreams were now lost. And yet there are these visions of angels that are being reported, and people are not finding his body. People are saying that he's alive, but at that point no one had seen him yet, at least not that they knew of. Can't you just see the sadness and the confusion in their faces? As they make their way to Emmaus, and as they struggle with all these things that are going on, and as they now have an opportunity to explain it to this stranger who had just joined them. But just as you see the pain and the sadness and the confusion in their faces, can't you also see the love in the face of that stranger? Even as he rebukes them. How foolish! How slow! How slow to believe the things that you know. And as he rebukes them, he takes them back and says, isn't this what the prophets said? And so he takes them back to the Word, beginning with Moses and all the prophets. He explained to them what was said in all the Scriptures concerning himself. It's all about him. The risen Savior explains the Scriptures, and it's all about him. Now, we're not told which sections of the Moses and prophets this stranger used with these Emmaus disciples. But the question that he asked perhaps gives us a hint. Didn't the Christ have to suffer and then enter his glory? And now you have all of these various scriptures that start to come to mind. It's just summarized for us, but perhaps you think about the very first promise. When you think about the fact that the Christ had to suffer, that very first promise in Genesis 3 verse 15 already told us there was going to be pain, there was going to be suffering. I will put hostility between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel. Even as he spoke to Satan, we are reminded that the Christ was going to suffer. It wasn't all that long ago, Good Friday, that we stood with the prophet Isaiah gazing up at the cross in chapter 53. He grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root from dry ground. He had no attractiveness and no majesty. When we saw him, nothing about his appearance made us desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man who knew grief, who was well acquainted with suffering. Like someone whom people cannot bear to look at, he was despised, and we thought nothing of him. Surely he was taking up our weaknesses, and he was carrying our sufferings. We thought it was because of God that he was stricken, smitten, and afflicted, but it was because of our rebellion that he was pierced. He was crushed for the guilt our sins deserved. Didn't the prophet say that he had to suffer? And how can we forget the opening section of Psalm 22? My God, my God, why have you forsaken me? My groaning does nothing to save me. My God, I call out by day, but you do not answer. I call out by night, but there is no relief for me. Yet you are seated as the Holy One, praised by Israel. In you our fathers trusted. They trusted, and you delivered them. They cried out to you, and they were rescued. They trusted in you, and they were not disappointed. But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by men and despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They sneer. They shake their heads. They say, trust in the Lord. Let the Lord deliver him. Let him rescue him. If he delights in him. Whether those are some of the words the strangers used or not, they certainly do remind you and me that the Christ indeed had to suffer and to enter his glory. Go back to Isaiah, near the end of chapter 52. And before he got into all of the sufferings, Isaiah said, "Look, my servant will succeed. He will rise. He will be lifted up. He will be highly exalted." Moses and the prophets told us that as well, that after that suffering, the Christ was going to enter into His glory. You think about Psalm 16. We sang these words last week. "Therefore my heart is glad and my whole being rejoices, even my flesh will dwell securely, because you will not abandon my life to the grave. You will not let your favored one see decay. You have made known to me the path of life, fullness of joy in your presence, pleasures at your right hand forever." It's all about Him. It's all about what the Christ was going to be doing. And so the risen Savior explains the Scriptures and points us to what the Christ was going to be doing. That's also why you and I stay in the Word, isn't it? It's so that the risen Savior can continue to explain the Scriptures to us, so that you and I can continue to realize it's all about Him. And as you and I go to these Scriptures, and as you and I listen, we find ourselves at times much like those Emmaus disciples, a little slow to believe, and sometimes foolish. We end up back at the why questions, and sometimes we ask why because we doubt the answers that we've been receiving. And so we ask more why questions. And we wonder why things are taking place, and we wonder why things are happening. We wonder why we need to deal with what we're dealing with. And we find ourselves slow to believe in what the Scriptures have to say, and we become a little more interested in trying to establish heaven on earth than we are in really focusing our attention on Him. We kind of forget at times that it's all about Him. And we would like heaven now. We would like it our way now. We would like it to be comforting now. Perhaps one of the things that's a little saddening for us is today was supposed to have been Confirmation Sunday. There are 5 young people who are getting ready for today, who are getting ready to announce before the congregation and their parents and before their Lord and their Savior, confessing their faith, expressing the knowledge that they had learned and the training that they had received, and then also promising to God that they were going to stay in these Scriptures so that the risen Savior could continue to explain it to them, getting ready to promise that they were going to make faithful and regular use of the means of grace, because after all, it's all about Him. It's coming. We'll get there. We couldn't do it today, but they'll have their chance. But in the meantime, perhaps it's a good reminder for all of us just how much we need to have the risen Savior explain the Scriptures to us, and how often we need to be reminded it's all about Him. And we need His constant reminder, and we need His constant explanation, not just once, not just twice, not just when things are going along nicely, or perhaps not just when things are a little rough. It's all about Him. It's all about the Christ. It's all about the One who suffered all of these things and entered into His glory. So as these 3 are walking along, and as this stranger is explaining all these things to them, He reminded those 2 Emmaus disciples, and He reminds us that it really is all about Him. It's all about the risen Savior. But you notice what He's doing? Even as He is putting their focus on Him, He is reminding them that His focus is on us. The risen Savior explains the Scriptures. It's all about us. This stranger had made an impression. As they approached the village where they were going, he acted as if he were going to travel farther. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, since it is almost evening and the day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. They still don't know who the stranger is. They still don't know that it's their Lord and their Savior. But they want to spend more time with Him. They want to hear what He has to say. And when it appeared that He was going to keep on traveling, they urge Him to stay with them. And He agrees. And so He goes in. And then suddenly the guest becomes the host. When He reclined at the table with them, He took the bread, blessed it, broke it, and began giving it to them. Suddenly their eyes were opened and they recognized Him. Then He vanished from their sight. You sometimes wonder how often these disciples had shared a meal with Jesus. How many times hadn't they seen Jesus do something very similar to this? And now all of a sudden, He's not a stranger anymore. All of a sudden, this is not just some visitor to Jerusalem who seems to be clueless and yet knows a lot about the Scriptures. It's Jesus. The risen Savior is there. All this time, Jesus had been talking to them. All this time, the risen Savior had been explaining the Scriptures to them. And that's why they now say, "Were not our hearts burning within us?" As He talked with us along the road, and as He explained those Scriptures to us. So excited they were, they got up right away, even though it was getting on toward evening and the day was almost over and they didn't want the stranger traveling anymore. They got up and they headed back to Jerusalem because they had news to share. It was all about us. Everything that Jesus had been talking about was for our benefit. An amazing thing. We gather. We listen. The risen Savior explains the Scriptures because it's all about us. Okay, now I understand that that's kind of natural. That it's usually all about us. That's our natural tendency, isn't it? Our natural tendency is, I want to know how this affects me. I want to know how this is going to be a benefit to me. And so we often go through life with that natural sinful tendency to think that it is really all about us. How is this job going to help me? How is this process going to be for my benefit? And we find ourselves even addressing the word and worship in much the same way. Is this really a good use of my time? Am I going to hear anything that will affect my life? Is there anything that I'm going to learn from this that I didn't already know? Something that's going to help me live my life better and answer all of my questions that I have? And we often go up to God and we expect Him to give me what I want. And we expect Him to shower me with what I think I need. And it's all about me. It is all about us, except differently than we might expect. As the risen Savior explains the Scriptures to us, He wants our focus on Him. It's all about Him. And yet, as we have our focus put on Him, we are reminded that His focus is always on us. As far as He's concerned, it's all about us. And since Jesus was all about us, He came and He lived. He took on that human flesh and He lived with His creation. Because for Jesus it's all about us, He gives God the Father the perfection that He's looking for. And He makes it necessary so that you and I can spend an eternity with our Lord and our God and rejoice in His blessings. It's all about us. And because Jesus was all about us, He was willing to suffer these things that He summarized for those Emmaus disciples and summarized for us. It was all about us, and so He was willing to take the suffering that I should have had and you should have had. And He was willing to pay for all of it so that we will not spend an eternity of suffering apart from God. Rather, we get to be with Him. It's all about us. And since it was all about us for our Lord and our Savior, we have that amazing hope. He lives. He is risen. He is risen indeed. That risen Lord is the guarantee that His suffering does set you free, and His life did pay for your guilt, and His resurrection assures you and me that this is all about us. We will leave our graves. We are forgiven. We are restored. We are redeemed. We will be going to heaven. All of this is for our benefit. All of this is for us because of His amazing love. It's not hopeless. We're not helpless. The risen Savior explains the Scriptures. From our point of view, it's all about Him. We focus in on Christ. We rejoice in His love. We hear what He has to say. From His point of view, it's all about us. We're why He came. We are why He suffered and died and rose. And even as we struggle with the why questions of this life, whether they are serious or just looking for information, we now know why we have hope. We now know why heaven is our home. Like those disciples in the first lesson, we now gather and we stay in this Word and we devote ourselves to the apostles' teachings, the teachings that Jesus Himself gave, the teachings that He explained. The risen Savior. It's all about Him. And we rejoice that He came. Because for Him, it's all about us. Amen. And now that peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We join to confess our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Lord Jesus, risen and ever-living Savior, with Your people of all ages and races, we adore You as Lord and God, who has crushed Satan's head, conquered sin and death, and redeemed all of us from the forces of evil. Accept our alleluias as we rejoice with believers, saints, and angels, because You have come forth triumphantly from the grave to live forevermore. Cleanse our hearts from all sinful desires, and give us eternal peace. We rejoice to know that You have blotted out all of our transgressions and reconciled us with our Father in heaven. We praise You because of the hope that You have brought to our hearts. We need not be afraid of death and dying because there is now no condemnation for us who believe in the saving power of Your cross. To all who are sorrowing, let this Easter season bring the comfort of Your promises and a new joy as they look forward to the day when they shall be reunited with their loved ones in the eternal glory of heaven. We rejoice today because we know that Your church will go from victory to victory, receiving strength from Your almighty hand. Even the gates of hell shall not prevail against Your church. Take full possession of our hearts, dear Lord. Remove all sin, scatter all doubts, drive away all worries. Let Your Spirit set aglow in us a love that will not die. Increase in us day after day the desire to follow You, whatever takes place and whatever You would lead us. Allow us to stand before Your throne, to see Your glory as the risen Lord, and praise You with saints and angels with an undying and perfect love. All this, dear Savior, we ask in Your name as we join in the prayer that You have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Almighty God, we thank you for teaching us the things you want us to believe and do. Help us by your Holy Spirit to keep your word in pure hearts, that we may be strengthened in faith, guided in holiness, and comforted in life and in death. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Brothers and sisters, go in peace, live in harmony with one another, serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with his favor and give you his peace. Once again, God's blessings to all of you as we rejoice in his grace and in his love and the hope that we have because he lives. Again, direct your attention to the update that is posted along with the service. A couple of things that I would like to highlight for you. Pastor Frelitz has arrived, and you will get to see his installation in our service next Sunday as he begins his work among us. So we are thankful that God has watched over him and his family, and we look forward to meeting him in person, but we will have his installation service as part of our regular service that you'll get to watch next week. Don't forget about the MLC door offering. That will be wrapping up fairly soon, but if you'd like to support the students and help them as they continue to train for being pastors and teachers, you're certainly welcome to do that. Please label your envelope the MLC offering. As this continues on, we are planning next week and the week after, May 3rd and May 10th, to open up our church from 1 until 4 in the afternoon and offer the Lord's Supper. So we'll do our best to make sure that everything stays sanitized. We'll work with our distancing. We'll be taking care of all of those things. But if you are desirous of the Lord's Supper, so for our regular communion Sundays, the first two Sundays in May from 1 until 4, council members will be here. We'll work to keep our numbers under 10. We'll work to keep our distance. Of course, if you're not feeling well, we encourage you to stay home. If you're not comfortable coming out yet, don't feel like you are despising anything. If you're still not comfortable, this is just being made as an opportunity for you if you would like to do that. You do see those dates in your update as well. Everything else is in there. God's continued blessings to you as you rejoice in that hope that we have in Christ.